A lion encircled by strips of golden filament. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Light passes across a backward slanting caption. Dimension Films. Curved lines float and weave in space, then settle to describe the outline of sand dunes. Platinum Dunes. A succession of golden oval shapes converge. Radar Pictures. A caption, based on the true story. November 13, 1974. The blurred face of a man with his eyes closed. Rain pours on a house at night. A symbol of a Native American Indian chief inside a circle. The handsome young man opens his eyes and stares darkly at the symbol which flickers on a TV screen, his hands held in front of him. He looks at a clock radio which reads 3:15, then at a side table where there's an ashtray full of cigarette butts and a book, Evil is the Proof of God. The man loads a rifle and walks up some wooden stairs. Lights up the man's bearded face as he stares intensely through a window. Outside, the doors flap in a small wooden building. The man walks up another flight of stairs to a long landing. He enters a bedroom where a couple is sleeping. He cocks the rifle. He takes aim and shoots the couple. Blood pools on the floor. In another room, a girl wakes and sits up sharply. The young man goes to a bedroom and pulls a sheet over a sleeping child. He shoots the child. Blood sprays on the walls. He shoots another sleeping child. The little girl hugs a teddy bear and hunches down by a wall beside a chest. The young man walks into the little girl's attic bedroom. He finds the bed empty. He looks at the crack at the bottom of a door and sees light. He walks over to the door and opens it. Inside is a closet where the little girl is hiding. She looks at the young man. Tears run down his face.
What's wrong, Ronnie?
He slowly raises the rifle and aims at her.
I love you, Jody.
Light flashes in the windows. The house sign reads, High Hopes. The Amityville Horror. Crime scene photos and news footage. Scrawled in the book is Catch 'em, Kill 'em.
Suffolk County Police, may I help you?
Everybody's dead.
What? Well, what do you mean everybody's dead?
The guy come running into the bar and said that guy. Mother and father are shot.
I've been to a lot of crime scenes. I've never seen anything like this.
Six members of the family were found last night in bed, shot, and killed.
Killed were car dealer Ronald DeFeo, his wife, and four of their children. The sole survivor of the family, 23-year-old Ronald Butch DeFeo Jr., is said to have discovered the bodies. Police state that for his own safety, they're holding him in protective custody.
Five of the victims were found shot face down on their beds. A sixth was found in a closet.
The little girl lies dead.
No one seemed to stir in their sleep. Strange.
Suffolk County police have charged 23-year-old Ronald DeFeo Jr. The accused told police he heard voices coming from within the house telling him to murder his family.
Deer Park, Long Island, 1 year later. Detached houses on a suburban street. In a bedroom, a beautiful young woman, Kathy Lutz, leans over her handsome bearded partner, George, who's lying in bed.
Oh, God! Damn it!
A little boy walks in wearing a diving mask.
Hey, Michael.
Well, hey, baby, you okay?
George, what are you doing to my mom?
Nothing.
Yet, you curse.
Kathy kisses George and gets out of bed. She goes and kisses Michael on the head. George slaps the bedclothes.
Come on up here, little man.
Michael takes off the mask and George lifts him onto the bed.
You can make it. Gah! Oh, you're getting heavy.
Michael looks at a family photograph.
Did you meet my dad?
No. Never had the pleasure, pal.
Do I have to call you dad now?
Guess what?
What?
You can call me whatever you want.
Anything?
Yep.
Cool.
Anything.
Cool!
Yeah.
Stinky?
Sure.
Boopy head?
Yep.
Crap monkey fart?
Okay, we gotta draw the line somewhere, pal. That does it.
George makes runny scrambled eggs. He scoops the yellow slop onto plates in front of Kathy's other two children, Billy and Chelsea. Billy tries some and grimaces.
It sucks.
You're not kidding.
Billy.
Look, maybe we'll grab you something on the way to school. What do you say, huh?
I'm not hungry. And I can walk to school.
No, you can't. Get your feet off the chair.
I could drop you off a couple blocks away and nobody'd see.
Mom, I'm 12 years old.
Well, before you plan your retirement party, we're going to drop you off at school. Hmm? You got a big day.
Why? Where are you guys going?
Mom, can you help me?
George winks and widens his eyes at Chelsea on a tree-lined road.
Houses here are way out of our price range, Kat.
Not according to this.
Well, then it's got to be true.
Positive, baby.
Positive? That houses here are out of our price range. Look, when the business is going good,
there.
You're gonna... Come on.
That's it. Look.
Honey.
Baby, look. 412 Ocean Avenue.
A newspaper ad. Amityville Riverfront. Spacious, gracious, executive, colonial.
It's beautiful.
What?
George drives the 4x4 up a leafy drive towards a large, white, colonial-style house. Lattice windows run across the ground floor facade. Waiting by a car is a smartly dressed, neatly coiffured woman. She waves.
Look how friendly they are here, honey.
They get like that when they think they're gonna make a sale. Let's just play it cool, Kath. Kathy. Catherine. Huh?
The woman nervously taps her fingers on her briefcase. She shakes Kathy's hand.
Hi there.
I'm Kathy.
Well, just call me Edith. This is your husband,
George.
Oh, this is an amazing house. You are going to love it. Just follow me in here. Careful on the steps there.
They go inside. The first and second floors of the house rise up to a tall, sloping roof. On the facade of the top floor are two quarter circle-shaped windows, the windows the gun flashes lit up the night of the murders. In the grand wood-paneled hallway...
Holy... Excuse me.
Let me show you the rest of the house.
This is a mistake.
How's that?
Well, no, I mean, your ad in the paper. This is, it's gotta be a misprint, because, like, I'm a contractor, and I know what a place like this should cost. And, you know, if this is true, then this is a deal of a lifetime.
And what is wrong with that? Come on.
They walk up the wooden staircase.
There's a vibrant history here. The house was built in 1692, at least the basement. The rest of the house was added from that foundation. It's one of the oldest Dutch colonials in Long Island.
Wow, that's impressive.
This room would be perfect for children, if you have any. And the views. Well, have a look for yourselves.
George looks out of a window.
There's a boathouse.
Oh. All you need now is a boat, right?
Actually, George has a speedboat.
Well, this place sounds like it's made for you.
Edith glances round. A shadow passes across a wall. George looks out at the boathouse.
And this is your basement. As you can see, it's very spacious. It can be a game room, a playroom.
Let's have a look.
George and Kathy walk down wooden steps into the large basement.
I'll just wait up here.
Yep. Looks like a basement.
So, what do you guys think?
I think you look foxy in that skirt.
Stop it. Come on.
As Kathy runs up the steps, something falls at George's feet. He picks it up. It's a digital clock radio. The time displayed is 3:15. Outside a room...
Yes, okay. It's a value.
It's a value for people with money, okay? Look, if we do this, we are going to be eating drywall for a year.
We deserve this, George.
Every little savings we
have. You deserve this. Look, how many times you tell me how hard you work for so long.
Kathy,
maybe today's the day it all pays off. We'll make sacrifices.
Huge sacrifices.
Yeah, I understand that. Listen, honey, this is the life we want.
Edith stands in the kitchen, fiddling with the large ring on her finger. Kathy jumps into George's arms. Edith comes to look.
We're happy?
Yes, we're happy.
She's happy. I'm broke.
They walk out.
Hold on. So, look, I gotta ask. What's the catch? There's always a catch.
There was a tragedy, a crime, a murder.
I'm sorry, what?
In the house? Several people, a family. But, you know, we've moved on, the whole town. It is a distant memory now, and the house is fine. Really.
Doesn't it seem kind of strange to buy this house, honey?
Well, houses don't kill people. People kill people. Excuse us.
You think we can make it work?
George puffs out his cheeks and looks around, frowning.
You know what? You want it, and we're gonna make it work.
Really?
I'll work out of the basement, and you can, well, sell one of the kids.
Hey.
A little one.
They kiss. Day one. George drives up to the house with Kathy and the kids. A sign on the side of the 4x4 reads, Lutz Construction.
We're rich!
Rich
in
something, but it ain't money.
Little Michael runs up to the house.
Wait!
Home movies of the family moving in. A G-faced Billy chases Little Michael and waves at the camera. Chelsea holds a bunch of colourful balloons. A removal truck is unloaded, and Billy points the camera at himself. The boys play in the water. Their dog, Harry, barks at the door. In an empty room, Kathy does a sexy little dance with the camera. Night. Lights glow on the porch and in the bedroom windows. The basement is empty apart from a few boxes and junk stored under the stairs. Upstairs, Billy lies in bed reading. Kathy tucks Michael up in bed.
You say your prayers?
Yep, said them twice.
What'd you pray for?
If I tell you, it won't come true, Mommy.
Why don't you tell them the truth?
What?
Praying doesn't do any good.
Lillian?
Nobody answered me when I asked for Dad to be kept alive.
He turns onto his side.
Don't say that.
Kathy sits and touches his shoulder.
Sometimes things happen in life that can't be explained, Billy.
George listens at the door. Kathy leans close to Billy.
Billy, look at me. I need you to give George a chance, okay? You're not being disloyal to Dad by liking George. He doesn't want to be anything but your friend, and then and maybe one day something more. Nobody will ever replace your dad, honey.
For you too.
For me too.
She kisses his cheek and goes. George walks away from the door. The lights go out in Billy and Michael's first floor bedroom. George sits on his bed as Kathy hangs up some clothes.
How's Billy?
He'll be fine.
Ooh, first call.
George picks up the phone.
No. Lutz residence, how may I help you?
Can I talk to my daughter, please?
Yeah, Trish, she's right here. Okay. Your mother's got to stop gushing over me, seriously. It's embarrassing now.
Hey, Ma. Now we're all moved in.
George looks at a grill and blows his hands.
Yeah, Ma.
You cold?
No, Ma. Yeah.
George goes to the cellar, opens the door and switches on the strip lights. He He walks down the steps and opens the cast iron door of the wood burner. Inside, a small fire burns. George throws in some logs. He stops and listens. Unnerved, he looks around. He throws in more logs, then notices the clock radio sitting on a box. Sounds appear to be emanating from the speaker. George picks up the clock radio and holds up the flex. He reaches up and presses his hand against a ventilation shaft. George shuts the wood burner. As he heads up the stairs, flames suddenly swell in the wood burner. George lies in bed, dozing. Kathy presses her fingers against his lips. Kathy takes off her nightgown and lets it drop to the floor. She gets on the bed and embraces George. They kiss and she lies on top of him. The clock radio reads 3:14. It flips to 3:15 a.m. Kathy writhes on top of George, her long blonde hair hanging loose over his face. She sits up and thrusts her body against his. Kathy presses her hand against a mirror above the bed. A young girl hanging from a noose appears in the mirror, her mouth agape. George sees her and flinches. Kathy turns, there's no one there.
No.
I don't feel well.
Frowning, he rubs his hand over his face. A grey day. Brown leaves blow across the grass. Michael runs over to Kathy, who's with Billy stringing a washing line between two posts. Harry the dog's there.
Give me a kiss!
George sits slumped on his bed. Kathy walks along the landing holding a washing basket. She stops to listen.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
In the attic room, Chelsea sees the dead little girl.
Chelsea?
Hey, Mommy.
Hi, hon. Who are you talking to?
The girl who lives in my closet.
Oh, yeah? And what's her name?
Jody.
You know, there are plenty of other little girls to play with in town, too.
I know, but Jody says they're all mean.
Is that Jody?
She points at a sketch of a nasty-looking man. The dead girl looks at Chelsea and gestures, shush.
No, that's someone else.
Who?
I'm not supposed to say who. She says it's an a-hole.
You're not allowed to say that word.
Chelsea shakes her Etch-a-Sketch to erase the spiky picture.
Shh.
Kathy follows Chelsea's gaze. But all she sees is a wooden chair. George is chopping wood. Michael's holding a curved steel implement.
George! What I found!
What is that? Where'd you find that?
Harry and I found it.
Where?
In the basement.
Not the basement. My office.
George kneels down to him.
You listen to me. You don't go down there. Understand?
Billy watches from the porch as Kathy drives up.
Guys, would you help me with the groceries?
George looks unsettled.
Go on, drop him up.
George hugs a tearful Michael.
I'm sorry.
George watches Kathy and the boys go inside, then looks at the curved metal object, which resembles a yoke. He walks into the kitchen, where Kathy's unpacking groceries.
How are you feeling?
Good, good.
Mm-hmm. I found a babysitter off a board at the grocery store.
Oh, Billy will love that.
Well, how about we call her the young adult sitter?
George rinses his hands.
Where's Chelsea?
George looks clueless. They go outside and walk around the side of the house.
Chelsea?
Kathy and George run down a slope and head down steps leading to the boathouse.
Chelsea! Chelsea!
Kathy and George run past Harry to find Chelsea standing on the prow of George's speedboat holding a red balloon.
Chelsea? Hey, give me your hand. Give me your hand, sweetie.
Chelsea, go to George.
Come on, sweetie. Hey, give me your hand!
She appears to snap out of a trance. George lifts her onto the wooden walkway.
What were you thinking? You could have fallen in the water.
Jody wanted to see the boat.
Kathy picks her up.
Somebody should have been watching you.
Kathy gives George a stern look and carries Chelsea away. George looks a little lost. He follows them and Harry out of the boathouse. George closes the boathouse doors, flips over a clasp, and padlocks the doors shut. He looks up to the house, which looms ominously. He walks away from the water's edge. A golden sunset passes rapidly over the water. That night, the boys lie in their beds. Michael sits up at the noise. Toy soldiers on a wooden mantelpiece start to shake. One of them falls. Michael looks around. Billy's sound asleep. Wearing stripy pajamas, Michael gets out of bed.
Billy, stop. Billy, I gotta go pee.
Billy doesn't stir. Michael looks up at an ornate wrought iron grill on the wall. He walks barefoot to the door. Young Michael, with an impish face and shaggy brown hair, cautiously peers down the hallway, then walks along the wooden floor. He stops and looks outside. The boathouse doors hang open. Michael runs to the bathroom. He switches on the light and goes and stands by the bath, his hands clasped over his groin. Fearfully watching the open door, Michael goes to the toilet and has a pee. Michael has a little shake, hoists up his pajama trousers, and walks over to the sink, all the while watching the doorway. He turns on a tap, but nothing comes out. He turns the other tap and peers at the nozzle, but nothing comes out. A monstrous figure with yellowy-brown skin, pale eyes, and blood dripping from his mouth creeping in the ears. Michael doesn't see it. Blood drips from the tap. Michael runs to his room, gets into bed, and pulls the covers over himself. The porch windows fly open and chairs start to move. George wakes and sits bolt upright. He gets out of bed and walks down the hall. Blood drips from a light switch and runs down the wallpaper. George goes into the boy's bedroom. The bedclothes are bloodstained. He sees himself cocking a gun and shooting himself in the head. George wakes from a dream. Curtains blow in the open windows. The clock reads 3:15. George goes and looks out of a window. He stares down at the boathouse. The doors swing open and a red balloon floats out. George runs down to the boathouse. The doors swing back and forth. George finds Harry in the boathouse. He looks at the water and sees bubbles rising to the surface. George leaps off the walkway and swims around amongst the dark, shadowy boathouse supports. He frantically searches in the gloom, then comes up for air. He looks around, then swims to the walkway and climbs out of the water. George runs up the garden.
God damn it, Harry.
Seriously, you trying to kill me?
George looks up to the attic room windows. The pale, dead little girl, Jody, stares out. Disappears, then reappears at the other window next to Chelsea. his muscular chest soaking wet, George runs up to Chelsea's room. He finds her fast asleep in bed. George walks into the closet and switches the light on. Jodie struggles as she's held against the ceiling by arms that have been taken out of the ceiling. Oblivious, George picks up a teddy bear, switches off the light, and walks out. He tucks the black and white teddy bear in the bed next to Chelsea, who sleeps soundly. He strokes her hair and leaves the room. Morning. Kathy lies in bed. As she wakes, she feels the empty space next to her. She sits up, frowning. George is in the basement, where Harry the dog's scratching around at the bottom of a wall.
Come on, get away from there. Hey, that's enough.
Hey!
Harry runs off. George stares at dirt around a narrow trough in the floor by the wall. George sits in a deck chair.
George? What are you doing down here?
It's the only place that's warm in this damn house. Somebody keeps opening the windows.
Kathy sees the dirt by the trough in the floor.
What is that?
George shakes his head.
You tell me.
Why don't you come back to bed?
No, I can't sleep.
Sorry, baby.
Don't talk to me like I'm one of your kids, okay?
What?
A goddamn dog woke me up. Billy's dog. Found him in the boathouse.
But you locked it.
And guess what I found in Billy's room?
He holds up a bunch of keys, then clamps his fist around them. Day 15. George drives along with Billy at his side.
You ready to talk about those keys?
Not a lot in this world can't be solved with an apology, Billy.
Not apologizing for something I didn't do, George.
George smiles wryly. At the house, George opens the back of the 4x4. It's full of logs. He ruffles Billy's hair.
Get to work, buddy.
George walks off. Billy pulls a face.
Get to work, buddy.
Billy starts unloading the logs. Standing at the kitchen sink, Kathy watches him as he walks past with a handful. Colourful magnetic letters on the fridge move about of their own accord. They spell Catch'em and Kill'em. A shadow flits past. Kathy turns and looks around. She then notices the letters on the fridge. She stares at the words, frowning.
George? George? George, you down there?
She looks down into the basement.
George?
George stands by the fridge drinking milk.
What? What's the matter?
Kathy points at the fridge door.
Did you do that thing with the magnets?
George looks at the fridge door. The letters are spread about, so no words are spelt.
Nothing. Just seeing things, I guess.
George looks anxious. His face is pale and sweaty. He closes the fridge door and walks off. Frowning, Kathy watches him. That evening, George sits in the living room staring into space. He wears grey trousers, a black roll-neck sweater, and a smart brown leather jacket. Kathy walks in wearing a low-cut, flowery dress, stockings and high heels. George stands up and looks at her.
Look hideous.
You're rather repulsive yourself, Mr. Lutz. Yeah. Where's the babysitter?
Babysitter? I told you guys, I don't need a babysitter. I'm old enough.
Baby, no. I know you can handle
it. I'm not letting her watch us. She's not coming in. I won't let her. I won't. She's not coming in.
Billy, listen to me. I can't leave you in the house alone.
You hired a babysitter. I told you I was a babysitter.
Hi.
I'm Lisa, the babysitter.
Great.
Can I take your coat?
She takes Lisa's fur-trimmed coat. Lisa smiles at Billy, who gulps.
Oh, I'm Billy.
Curvaceous, buxom Lisa smiles salaciously. She wears jeans and a low-cut crop top, exposing her midriff. George leans down to Billy.
You sure you don't want a babysitter?
Would you like me to show you around?
No, it's okay. I know it already. I used to sit for the DeFeos.
Kathy looks at George.
Freaky being back here.
I'm Billy.
Yeah, I got you the first time.
Good night, Billy.
Kathy and George go. Lisa keeps looking around. Kathy and George sit in an Indian restaurant.
This is just what we needed, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You feeling all right?
You know what? I feel better. I think I just needed to get out of the house. Come on, drink up.
You're trying to get me drunk, Mr. Lutz.
Oh, that's the appeal of marriage, huh? Hopefully I won't have to.
At the house, Lisa's in the toilet smoking a bong.
Be right out.
She blows out smoke, waves her hand in the air, smooths down her long hair, and goes to the door. Billy's outside with a big bowl of popcorn.
Hungry?
Kid, you read my mind. The kids, they're going through a tough time. I guess they're just adjusting to everything.
Yeah, we all are.
Do you feel different?
What do you mean?
About us. About me.
Yeah, I do. I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm sure about something. And that's you. And I'm gonna spend the rest of my life making you happy.
Boy, you know how to turn on that Lutz charm.
They lean across the table and kiss. Lisa's sitting on Billy's bed as he paces. She sticks her tongue out and curls it up at the end. She looks at a poster of the band Kiss.
Some people say his tongue is fake.
Gene Simmons has his long tongue out.
I think it's all him.
Billy touches a fiber optic lamp.
That's a pinball arcade.
Cool.
Lisa sits up and sticks out her chest.
So do you French?
Do I what?
Kissing. Tongues.
Billy frowns.
No.
Did your family know the DeFeos?
The who?
The family that lived here before you.
No, we just moved here.
Well, you know what happened to them, don't you?
No.
I really shouldn't be telling you this.
She kneels on the bed and leans towards him.
Your parents are gonna be pissed.
It's okay.
Chelsea and Michael play Operation. He pokes the Adam's apple.
Stop! That's not how you play! I can't hear you! Stop it! Let me try! You're killing him.
Lisa lies on Billy's bed.
So this whack job, Ronnie, the guy that lived here, people in this town say he heard voices telling him to do it. The guy was a nut. I mean, first he thinks his dog's out to get him, so he kills it. A few days later, he thinks his family's a bunch of demons. So you know what he did? Wasted them.
How did he do it?
Michael comes in.
Did what?
Oh, you are way too young to hear this. So cover your ears. And don't listen. A rifle. Back, 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 back! He went room to room, splattering their heads as they slept. He killed his brothers in this very room. Right here. In these beds.
Photos of the bloody beds. A grill over a heating duct. A chandelier shakes.
It's kind of gross you guys still sleep in here.
She lies down. Billy looks troubled. Michael stands at the door listening.
Actually, it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I'm totally freaking you out, kid. I suck at babysitting.
She smiles. Kathy and George leave the restaurant. Lisa leads the boys to the attic bedroom.
This was a little rat's room. Jody's.
She sits on the floor.
You know, they found her in there.
The closet.
Jody says you're a bad babysitter.
Yeah? Well, Jody's, what's the word? Dead?
It's not.
That little shit got me fired.
Chelsea sits on her bed. Billy looks at the closet door.
Dirty, go in there.
You give me your Kiss poster if I do it?
Okay.
Lisa walks into the closet and turns on the light.
You're going to make her mad.
Lisa shakes her hand spookily. The teddy bears on the floor, The door slams shut.
Come on, guys.
Lisa tries to open the door.
Haha, guys, this isn't funny. Billy, Michael?
The boys pull at the door handle.
It's not opening! I can't open it! Unlock the fucking door!
There's no lock on the door!
This isn't funny, let me the fuck out! Billy! Michael! Let me out! Let me out of here! Let me out of here!
Written on Chelsea's Etch-A-Sketches, hate her.
What's going on?
Blood drips in a light bulb.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa turns and faces Jodie, who pulls her fringe aside, revealing a bullet hole.
Look what Ronnie did.
Lisa shakes with fear. Jodie grabs her finger. Smiling, she forces it into the bullet hole in her forehead. Jodie flies back as if shot and slumps against the wall. Kill 'em is written in blood. Lisa pummels the door. Lights flicker and walls crack up as Lisa hammers her bloody hands against the door.
Help me! Let me out!
Lisa's stretchered to an ambulance. Kathy stands over Lisa, who shakes.
I saw Jodie. Who's Jodie? Little girl. She's dead. She's supposed to be dead.
Lisa's lifted into the ambulance. Kathy sees Chelsea looking out of her window. Billy and a tearful Michael sit on the stairs.
It's one thing to pull a prank.
We didn't pull a prank.
It's another one to hurt someone.
We didn't hurt anybody. It was this house.
Shut up!
Tears stream down Michael's face.
George.
I got this under control.
You don't have you under control.
What you guys did was wrong.
Ah, stop it, Kathy. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying doesn't work. From now on, I'm doing the disciplining around here. End of story.
This house is bad, Mommy.
Michael, honey.
There's no bad houses. There's just bad people.
Why didn't you tell us about the people who died here?
George stops pacing.
Where'd you hear that?
The babysitter told me the two little boys died in our room.
Darkly.
Goddamn babysitter's an idiot.
Okay, you guys, get to bed. We'll deal with this in the morning. Come on. No, I'm not sleeping in that room. It's gross.
Me neither.
Wipe that stupid look off your face and go to bed.
George stares at the boys.
Run.
They reluctantly obey. Distressed, Kathy follows them. Kathy goes and stands in the doorway to Chelsea's room. She pushes the door open and looks at Chelsea, who's lying in bed. Kathy walks in and kneels by the bed.
Why are they yelling, Mommy?
It's nothing. It's over now, baby. I need you to tell me what happened with Lisa, honey.
Lisa was being mean to Jodie. So Jodie hurt her.
Jodie?
It's okay, Mommy. Jodie won't hurt you. She thinks you're a good mommy.
Chelsea sits up.
The man who lives here, she says he's bad. She wants him to go away. He makes her do bad things.
They gaze at each other. Day, George is chopping wood with an axe. He hands a log to Billy.
Move it from there to there. Go!
Billy and Michael carry piles of logs. Chelsea listens at her window. A preoccupied Kathy watches from the kitchen. Night. Lights glow in the windows of the house. In the garden is a massive pile of chopped logs. Harry runs with Billy as he puts a couple of logs on top and leans against the pile. He gazes up at the house. Chelsea, Michael, George, and Kathy are eating dinner. George spits out some food onto his plate.
What?
Is this discipline or torture?
Thought it was meatloaf.
George grins and pokes his fork into his food.
When the body suffers, the spirit flowers. That's what my dad taught me. His dad's not around to teach him that now, is he?
George nails up a board as a partition in the basement. He stops and listens at the ventilation grill. George looks around. He goes to the narrow trough full of dirt by the wall. George slowly steps over to the wall. He presses his hand against the wall. George finds himself in another part of the basement. The trough runs along the stone floor. Blood flows along it. Blood pours out of a bench, where a figure lies face down. Its back has had the skin stripped off. George turns its head. It's himself. George throws up in the toilet. Hot water runs into the bath. Steam rises. George goes to the sink. He wipes steam off the mirror and rinses out his mouth with water. He stares into the mirror and takes a pill. He turns the tap off. George undresses. Water bubbles in the bath. George gets into the bath and sinks down into the water. He rests his head back and closes his eyes. Several bloody and bruised hands reach up and pull George under. Water slops over the sides of the bath. As George struggles, a cloud of blood appears. Kathy hoists George out of the bath. The blood vanishes. They hug each other tightly. A doctor shines a light into George's brown eyes.
You use narcotics, Mr. Lutz?
No.
But after this week, I'm going to give it some serious thought.
Ow.
A nurse swabs his ear.
Suffer from headaches, nausea?
Actually, I feel great. Now.
He looks at Kathy.
Weird as that may sound.
Well, there's no sign of a concussion. No sign of any bruising at all.
The doctor writes a note.
I want you to give Dr. Stone a call.
Wait. This is a psychiatrist. Do I look nuts to you?
I'm not trying to offend you here. I'm just trying to help you figure out the problem.
He walks out. George screws up the note and hands it to Kathy. George and Kathy drive through town.
I feel like it's my fault, George.
Oh, Kath.
I was the one who wanted this place. I put too much pressure on you.
Hey. This is the life that I want too, okay? Look, we got the old American dream here. Okay? There's no way in hell that I'm letting that get away now.
She watches him as he drives.
I love you, George.
He glances at her. The kids are sitting at the kitchen table. Billy pours out cereal.
Billy, can I get my teddy? She's real hungry.
Okay, go. Hurry up. Mom finds out I'll let you out of my sight, she's gonna kill me.
George and Kathy drive up to the house and get out of the 4x4. As George walks to the door, Chelsea's teddy bear lands at his feet. Frowning, he picks up the teddy bear and looks up at the house.
Hi, Mommy! Look at me, Mommy! Hi, Mommy!
Chelsea's standing on the pinnacle of the roof, waving. Kathy and George look up, horrified.
Oh my God! Chelsea!
Chelsea, don't move! Just sit down!
Kathy runs inside.
Chelsea!
George grabs a ladder. Chelsea steps along the narrow beam at the top of the roof. Kathy runs upstairs. Chelsea claps her hands. George climbs the ladder.
Hold the ladder!
Let me stay there!
Kathy looks out of Chelsea's bedroom window.
Chelsea! Chelsea!
Kathy steps out into a gutter.
Chelsea!
God damn it! Chelsea! Wait! Which way did it go?
The boys hold the bottom of the ladder as George climbs. Kathy climbs up a drainpipe and hauls herself up by a chimney stack. Chelsea walks along the other side with her arms outstretched.
Chelsea
walks towards the gable end. As George climbs round a corner, he kicks the ladder away. Kathy climbs round the chimney stack and walks along the narrow, copper-covered top of the roof towards Chelsea, who's nearly at the end.
What are you doing up here?
Chelsea turns to Kathy.
I have to go with Jordy, Mommy.
Chelsea steps off.
No!
Kathy dives and grabs Chelsea's dungarees.
George!
Hang on!
Mommy!
Kathy slides down the roof, still holding on to Chelsea.
George! It's not, I'm slipping! George!
Chelsea falls and George catches her. Kathy stands facing Chelsea on the porch.
Chelsea, why would you
do that?
Something. There is no Jody, okay?
Yes, there is!
No, there isn't! You have to stop this!
But he's real. Jody's real!
She is not real!
Liar! 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 I've seen her. She was gonna show me Daddy. I just want to see Daddy. Jody promised to take me to Daddy. She says I can stay here so we can play together forever and ever.
George walks up.
Do you miss your daddy?
Yes.
You miss your daddy a lot?
Yes.
I know you miss your daddy, baby. And no one can see him because he's in heaven. He's with the angels.
Kathy hugs Chelsea tightly and kisses her hair.
I just got so scared.
George stands watching, holding Chelsea's teddy bear. He looks out of the window at Michael and Billy, who walk off with Harry the dog. George frowns.
What's the matter with you people?
Kathy stares at him, fraught. He walks off round the corner, shaking his head.
Wacko family.
George gathers up some shirts, jumpers, and the clock radio. He walks down into the basement and looks around. He drags a couch out and lays a rug on it. He puts wood in the burner and shuts the door. An elderly grey-haired priest rakes over burning leaves in a churchyard. Kathy walks up.
Father Calloway? Father.
They shake hands.
Kathy Lutz.
No.
Do you have a moment?
They sit on a bench as golden flames flicker over the blackened leaves.
It's my family. We've changed. It's like we've grown apart.
I don't think I understand.
Kathy looks away anxiously.
There's something evil.
The weathered, puffy-eyed priest regards her.
I know it sounds crazy, I know that. I would think the same. I just don't know where else to go.
Father Calloway sits back and shakes his head.
There was a family. Lived here some time ago. They had a similar problem.
The DeFeos.
Knew them?
I'm living in their house.
Tears well in Kathy's eyes. In the garden, Billy lifts a log onto a wood chopping block. George stands holding an axe.
Now hold it steady.
So you get shaky, I get shaky.
Crouched with his hands either side of the log, Billy looks terrified. George swings the axe and splits the log. George peers blankly at Billy.
What, are you crying? Why are you crying? That wasn't so bad. Pick up another log. Hurry up, pick up another log. Hurry up!
Billy puts another log up.
Put your hands up there. Put your hands up there.
George grabs Billy's face.
We're friends. We're having fun, right? Put your hands up there.
Sobbing, Billy puts his hands either side of the log. George regards him coolly and swings the axe. Billy recoils as the log is split. Night. In the basement, George sits on the couch with the rug over himself. He projects home movies onto the wall. It's the film they took when they moved in. George smiles and chuckles at the film of Chelsea holding the balloons. Grinning, Kathy does her little dance. Billy smiles at the camera. His face is suddenly disfigured, as if it's rotten, then returns to the smiling Billy again. George rewinds the film. He slows the film to the point where Billy's face appears rotten and featureless. The film melts. George stares at the white wall. He looks around with weary, bloodshot eyes. Kathy tucks Chelsea up next to her in bed. Kathy wraps her arms around Chelsea, and they close their eyes. In the basement, the clock reads 3:14. The numbers flip to 3:15. Chelsea's black and white teddy lies beside the clock radio. George is asleep on the couch. His eyes open, they appear dark. A door swings open, and he sits up. He stands and walks up to the house. He looks around the hallway. Curtains waft in the windows. George walks to the bottom of the stairs. He stares at the inner and outer front doors. They're wide open. He walks across the porch, then down the front steps. He goes to the chopping block and grabs the axe. He heads towards the boathouse, dragging the axe along the wooden walkway behind him. He stops and stares at the boathouse doors as they open and close. A light hangs above the doors. He goes into the boathouse and switches on the lights. The bulbs flicker yellow, then go out. George steps along the walkway with the axe held up. A spectral figure briefly appears in the water. George looks around, then walks on. Light filters through gaps in the wood-slatted walls. George edges towards a dark corner, axe held in both hands. He stoops down to look into the corner. An emaciated human figure attacks. George strikes the attacker with the axe. Blood spatters over the wooden walls. George stares down at Harry the dog, lying dead at his feet, covered in blood. George's face is racked with pain as he drops the axe and squats down. He picks up Harry's collar in his bloody hands and sobs. George scrubs blood off the wooden walkway. Pale morning light hangs over the house. George sits at a table, staring at his hands.
George.
He stares at his trembling hands.
I think there's something seriously wrong here. Something's not right.
His gaze hardens.
What's not right?
Kathy sits beside him at the table.
We need to get out of here. Just go. Just back up and go.
You can't run away from your problems, Kat.
Please, let's go, George. Somewhere. Anywhere.
You hear that? Hear that squeak? I gotta fix that squeak. Because, you know, these houses, they're big. Big projects, Kat, and you can't just walk away from it.
He clenches his fist around her finger. Kathy winces and pulls her hand out of his grip.
How did you get so fucking stupid?
What?
Everything we have is in this house. Everything.
I'm not worried about our goddamn money.
Oh, our money.
George, we're losing each other. Don't you see that? We stay here, we'll have a house for the family, only there won't be a family!
It's so cold in here.
He lights the gas hob.
Would you like to stop alone and pay attention to me?
I'm not going anywhere, and neither are you. So shut up about that. Just shut up. God damn it. You're the one who wanted this godforsaken house. Well, now you got it.
Mom!
Home sweet home.
He thumps the fridge, knocking off the magnetic letters.
What is it, sweetie?
We can't find Harry anywhere. He's gone.
Oh, I'll be looking at sex, sweetie.
You seen Harry, George?
No, I haven't, Billy.
George looks out at the boathouse.
Maybe he ran away.
Harry never runs away, George.
What's the matter with you, William? Get out of here now! Now!
Fine. Come on, Michael.
Billy puts his hand on Michael's shoulder and they go outside. Kathy anxiously rubs her hand across her face and looks over at George, who seems to be in a kind of trance. He slowly turns his cold gaze on her, and she leaves too. A dull gold Chevrolet Chevelle with New York plates pulls up on the dirt track near the water's edge. Grey-haired Father Calloway, wearing a black suit and carrying a briefcase, strides up to the house and makes the sign of the cross.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
George is drilling the windows shut, leaving crooked screws sticking out of the window frames. He slowly looks round. Chelsea answers the door.
Hello?
Is your mommy home?
Hold on a second. Mommy, there's somebody at the door!
Who is it, honey? Come in, Father.
Father Calloway looks down at the black and white teddy bear Chelsea is holding. One of the eyes has been torn out. Calloway walks with Kathy.
This is going to sound strange, but you know the doll with one eye that your daughter is holding? Well, that belonged to the little girl who lived here before you.
Yes, it was left here.
No, Mrs. Lutz, it was not left here.
Father, what exactly are you trying to tell me?
I knew the DeFeos very well. I presided over their funeral. Jody DeFeo was buried with that doll.
She stares at him wide-eyed. Inside, Calloway opens his case, which contains a selection of holy instruments. He takes out a purple stole and unfolds it.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God.
He kisses the stole and drapes it around his neck.
We ask you to bless and sanctify this house. To bless all who live here. To bring them the abundance of all their fruits.
Father Calloway sprinkles holy water which sizzles on contact with the floor and walls, as though boiling hot. Calloway looks around with a puzzled expression, then focuses his attention on a metal heating grill high up on the wall. A figure runs past a window outside, and the door behind Calloway slams shut. A cross design is on the doorknob. The doorknob twists, turning the cross upside down. Calloway pulls a small round table over to the wall and climbs up onto it. He brings his face up to the heating grill and tries to peer through into the darkness beyond. Suddenly, a huge swarm of flies bursts through the grill, knocking Calloway off the table. He desperately tries to wipe the flies off his face as the door swings open. Calloway runs back to his car.
Father! Father!
Kathy thumps on the car window.
Why are you leaving us? What's the matter?
Calloway drives away. Kathy turns and comes face to face with George, who holds her.
It's okay. I'm here.
His eyes are bloodshot. Night has fallen, and the dark house is quiet. A window slides open, curtains billow out, and the chandelier rattles. George is lying on the couch in the basement. The boathouse doors swing in the wind. George covers his ears and buries his face in his pillow.
Oh, God damn it, Harry!
The TV comes on. George stares at the screen and the Native American Indian chief's head in the center of the test card. George climbs down the stairs outside and stands on the wooden landing overlooking the boathouse. The boathouse doors blow open and closed. George holds his hand to his head, as though fighting some emotional battle. He turns back to the house, its twin windows making the side of the building resemble a face. George collapses and lies curled up on the wet wooden landing. In the house, Kathy stands by a bare window and gazes out at George lying on the landing. Day 28. The sun rises over the house. Kathy lies on her bed, then suddenly sits up. George is back on the couch. He leans over and vomits. Kathy desperately knocks on the door of the Amityville Public Library.
We don't open for a few more minutes.
Kathy marches past the librarian. She searches through newspaper archives on a microfiche. She scrolls through headlines. DeFeo suspected of family murder. A portrait of the accused. Voices told him to do it.
Voices told him to do it.
DeFeo's son murders family after 28 days.
You just moved into the basement. 28 days later, he killed them all.
She scrolls through police mugshots of Ronald DeFeo and another picture of DeFeo beneath the headline, Haunted. A photo of an open book. Scrawled on the pages are the words, Catch 'em and Kill 'em.
Oh my God.
She covers her mouth in fear. At the house, George stares at the slim trough in the concrete floor which leads under a green wooden wall. George jams a crowbar between the planks of the wall and starts to jemmy them apart. He breaks out a section of wall and grips onto another of the planks to try to pull it away. George releases his grip to find his hands covered with a thick, sticky goo. George pokes his head through the gap he's made and looks around the darkness inside. A nest of maggots are stuck to the inside of the wall. No! He jumps back in shock. In the library, Kathy pulls out a small drawer and flicks through book record cards.
Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum.
She slams down a large book, The Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum, Chronicle of a Zealot. She flicks through the book and finds a chapter called The Sanctuary, which shows a drawing of the house.
We started a mission for Indians.
In the house, George has destroyed the wooden wall, only to find another wall of heavy stone blocks. He swings a sledgehammer and dust falls from the ceiling as he starts pounding the stone wall with heavy blows. A section of the wall starts to give and George breaks through. In the book is a drawing of a metal object, like the one Michael found, under the heading, Torture Device. Having broken through the wall, George climbs through into a dank chamber. He follows the glistening trough past a cell with straw on the floor. A grey blood-stained face appears at the bars and a jagged rod is pulled out of its bloody mouth. Kathy reads on.
He slaughtered them all.
The book shows a drawing of a figure suspended by meat hooks pushed through its flesh. Down in the basement, a figure hangs just like in the picture, its skin stretched by the iron hooks.
Over 20 bodies were found in the lake.
George shines his torch onto a crouching figure wearing a spiked iron collar. George leaps back in shock, dropping his torch. Another blood-stained figure struggles, its face trapped in an iron clamp. In the book is a drawing of a corridor. George walks down the corridor. George paces towards the door. Kathy stares at a drawing of Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum, a lean, long-haired man wearing a black overcoat and a wide-brimmed hat. The drawing shows Ketchum leaning over a body holding a meat hook. The account beside it contains the words, Ketchum's body, basement, suicide. Kathy nervously drives along a tree-lined road. George opens the door to find a figure in an overcoat and wide-brimmed hat. Kathy comes into Calloway's office.
Father, why did you run away from our house?
George walks towards Ketchum.
Why did you abandon us?
Your house frightens me, Mrs. Lutz.
Ketchum picks up a long knife.
I just read about this man. Ketchum. He tortured Indians on my land, on my basement.
Ketchum turns to George. Calloway sits and holds his head.
I read about how he slit his throat so that his presence would live forever. Do you believe this could be true?
Ronnie DeFeo came to me weeks before the murders. He spoke about hearing voices and seeing things in the house. I didn't believe him until yesterday. Let's get you and your family out of that house. Right now.
George is spattered with blood until he's soaked from head to toe. Lying on the couch, George is woken by the phone. He walks through into the kitchen and answers it.
Hello?
George. George, I'm speaking to see Father Calloway. Listen to me, you gotta get you and the kids out of the house. George? Are you there, George?
As though in a trance, George rips the phone off the wall. Kathy anxiously drives through the dark, rainy night. She runs through the front door. Kathy sprints across the wet ground to the boathouse. Inside, George stands on his speedboat, shining his flashlight at the clear water around him. A pale, injured face stares up at him from below the water. George starts the boat's engine as Kathy runs in.
George! We have to get out of here now! George!
He shines the flashlight at her. Dazzled by the harsh light, Kathy loses her footing and plunges into the water. Her hair gets tangled in the speedboat's propeller, and she's dragged under. She gasps for air, her face trapped just at the surface level. George frowns as Kathy's face appears to take on a corpse-like appearance. He flicks a switch to trim down, and Kathy grabs her hair as the prop tilts, pulling her right under. George watches Kathy start to drown. Suddenly he shoves a lever, and the prop reverses, freeing her. He reaches out his hand, but she slaps it away and clambers out.
Are you fucking crazy, George? Have you lost your mind? You're trying to kill me!
She scrambles away and George watches curiously. In the basement.
Chelsea!
Mommy, Mommy! I'm down here, Mommy!
Chelsea, honey, what are you doing down here?
Hand in hand, Chelsea and Kathy walk through the basement. They find several roughly made coffins, each with a name scrawled onto them. Billy, Michael, Chelsea and Kathy. Terrified, Kathy clamps her hand over her mouth, then turns away. George stares at her. He gathers Chelsea up into his arms and snarls at Kathy.
I think she misses her daddy.
He clamps his hand around Chelsea's face.
Don't you?
Give me back my daughter.
George kisses Chelsea's head, then throws her back to Kathy.
I want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you!
She slams the door on him and runs.
Kate! Get down here!
Michael and Billy race downstairs. The basement door swings open and George steps through holding a shotgun. He pumps the gun and climbs the stairs to the ground floor. In the hallway, Kathy and the kids slide a bureau in front of the door leading to the basement stairs. Billy pushes against the cabinet as George tries to get through the door. Kathy, Chelsea and Michael try to run outside, but the front door slams in front of them. Billy lets go of the bureau and George bursts out. Kathy and the kids run to the back door, but it slams shut along with the windows. They all run back and George's hand clamps around Kathy's neck. He slams her against a wall and Billy punches him in the back. George elbows Billy hard in the face.
What the hell is your problem?
These kids are out of control.
They try to open a window. Chelsea runs upstairs.
Chelsea!
Kathy and the boys run after Chelsea. George steps into the hallway and paces up the stairs behind them, grimacing and smashing a framed photo along the way. Kathy and the kids run up a second flight of stairs to the attic room. George pumps his shotgun again and climbs the stairs behind them. George blasts a hole through the door and kicks it open. The window is open and the family have gone. Kathy and the kids climb up the rain-washed rooftop. George hears them climbing above him and blasts a hole through the roof, barely missing Kathy. George climbs out of the window as the family clamber over the peak of the roof. Billy looks down to see George coming out of the window. Billy wrenches a length of piping off the wall. George clambers onto the roof, and Billy smashes him across the face. George lets go of his shotgun and tumbles off the roof, landing in the sodden mud. He lies unconscious, his face covered in thick black mud. Kathy and the kids come to a window and try to open it. A grey face peers out at them. Below them, on the ground, George opens an eye. Kathy and the kids carefully try to climb down a metal ladder, which is fixed to the chimney stack.
I want you to hold on tight.
George raises his head. Kathy has reached the ground as sodden George strides round a corner. Kathy calls up to Chelsea and Michael.
Jump, baby!
Chelsea jumps into her arms. George grabs the axe. Michael's afraid, but eventually summons up the courage to jump into Kathy's arms. They turn to find George brandishing the axe. He grabs Billy.
Come here! Come here!
George pins Billy against a wall, the axe handle pressed to his chest. George sees Billy's face contort into hideous corpse-like faces. Kathy has the gun. George slowly wraps his fingers around the gun barrel, then turns his head so that the gun is pressed against his forehead. His cold eyes stare at trembling Kathy. Kathy can't bring herself to pull the trigger and steps back, pointing the gun into the air. George turns back to Billy and pulls back the axe to deliver a hefty blow. Kathy smashes the shotgun butt into George's head, knocking him cold. He crumples to the saturated ground. The home movies of Chelsea holding balloons, Billy waving, Kathy picking up Chelsea and Billy grinning. George comes too and Kathy leads the kids away.
Hurry! Let's get some rope!
George sits up. Lightning flashes illuminating his face. Kathy grabs a length of rope, then turns as George plants the axe head deep into her stomach. She chokes as George lets go of the axe, which remains embedded firmly in her abdomen. George wakes up for real and calls out to Kathy.
Kathy! Kill me! You kill me or I'll kill you!
Nobody's dying today.
She slams the shotgun butt down onto his head, knocking him cold again. George is firmly tied up as Kathy and the kids drag his unconscious body along the walkway to the boathouse. Inside, they lay him by the speedboat.
Okay, let's get him in the boat.
George wakes violently and goes into a seizure as quick images flash in rapid succession. The chief's head and the test card, a bloody shotgun blast, catch 'em and kill 'em written on the fridge, Jody shot in the head, blood raining down onto a figure with meat hooks in its flesh. Suddenly George lays still, his once bloodshot eyes now clear and calm.
Why are we taking him? Let's just leave him here.
I can explain it to you right now. We just have to get him away from the house.
Kathy and Billy roll George's inert body into the speedboat. Kathy starts the boat's engine, and they ride out of the boathouse onto the vast expanse of clear, placid water. Dawn is breaking and Kathy glances round at George, who is still unconscious. Kathy turns off the engine and allows the boat to drift. She looks back at George, who is slowly beginning to come round. Chelsea and Michael nervously cling on to Kathy as George takes a deep breath and looks up at them. Kathy and Billy look over at the white weatherboard house, nestled amongst the trees, almost like a lurking predator.
Don't even look at it, Kathy. Let's get out of here.
Kathy turns back to the steering wheel. George breathes heavily and stares at the children. The speedboat coasts away across the placid blue water. A caption. After 28 days, the Lutz family fled Amityville. They never returned for their personal possessions. Jody stands in the hallway, her blue veins vivid through her pale, translucent skin, and a gunshot wound passing through her head. She opens her mouth. Her face contorts demonically. The numbers on the alarm clock sprawl backwards. Chairs position themselves around the dining table. Screws come out of the window frames. Letters float back up onto the fridge. The alarm clock stops at 3:15 a.m. A tear rolls down Jody's cheek. Standing alone, holding her teddy bear, a faint smile plays across Jody's face. She's suddenly pulled through the floor, leaving nothing but the teddy bear. ITFC audio description.